billion-dollar business, that they have to be in that airport, or they're out of business. And I don't know that we can address that adequately with just a fair market value assessment of the different leases. I also think it's kind of interesting. I don't even know if this is a fair comparison, but we're so worried here about a state resource that we're allowing someone to use for business, and we're worried about fair market value and competitive bids, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I wonder if we applied this same kind of scrutiny to our fishing permits. If you know, we're not willing to give these people even the right necessarily to renew and pay the state for that resource that they have, yet a fishing permit is given in perpetuity. It can be given to your heirs, et cetera, and you are essentially given a huge state resource that you never have to give back to the state the necessary permit. It becomes a negotiable instrument. So I just think that we have to be real careful on these, that we are considerate not only of the fair market value but the business value, and that this is a state resource, and it should be given in some terms the same consideration that other state resources are given to the people that use them.
Representative Brown.
Thank you. I had a couple questions. In this right of first refusal, in the right of the first offer, how is the price determined? Is that set by regulation? Is there some regulation that says the price is at these airports so much per square foot? Or how would it be set?
Parkin.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, the intent is to have the price of the lease approach fair market value. That's our interest. There's nothing specifically written in the regulations, I don't believe, that identify a specific rate at this point. And maybe Elizabeth can help me with this, but I don't think we have anything in regulations right now that deal with this, the actual rate. But our interest is in fair market value.
I guess I was wondering whether something other than price could be negotiated as the consideration. For example, we need public restrooms here. We don't have any. Would you agree to construct some on your land? Or would you agree to allow part of your land to be subleased to somebody else for some other purpose that's not being presently satisfied, like Representative Foster was saying? Are those kinds of considerations? You know, it's really fuzzy to me how this would be done.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, we do have an option in regulations to give a break on the lease rate for public purpose. For example, we have a couple rural leases with some communities, I believe, that have fire facilities. That it's a community-owned facility. We benefit at the airport for that facility being at the airport, so we give them a reduced lease rate for that purpose. There's a community right now that is requesting a reduced lease rate for the purpose of putting a shelter in for somewhat of a hangar, a terminal, for people to wait to be out of the weather when planes come in. Community-owned facility. It's on a state lease slot. We've given them a reduced rate for that purpose. So we do have an opportunity to reduce for some public purpose.
How do you establish fair market value?
It's difficult to do. We have right now, we're implementing a survey of all our rural leases to determine which leases are at the fair market value, which ones may be above fair market value for the purposes of reducing them, or identifying ones that are below fair market value and looking at increasing them. It's tough when you have not much to compare with except other airports in the state. You can't really compare it too much to lease lots in the downtown area or outside the airport because it's a specific purpose, specific use. So it's very difficult to do.
Okay, what are holdover leases? They're mentioned a couple times in here.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Brown, holdover leases are leases that the term has expired, and yet we're continuing those leases on a month-to-month or temporary basis with the existing terms and conditions of those leases as well.
So they're beyond 55 years?
I don't believe we've got any that are in holdover that are beyond 55 years at this point. Most of the leases are shorter than that.
So how does the department envision the 55 years applying to these new leases that result from the first offer being made by the existing lessee?
The way the bill's drafted right now, it would allow for a leaseholder to have a lease forever, provided that they meet the conditions that are stated in here. They would be able to exceed 55 years in total after having their lease, a new lease at the expiration of their existing lease. So
I don't see how you read forever into it. I mean, the most I could read into it was they're entitled to a new lease that shall not exceed 55 years.
They're entitled to a new lease that shall not exceed 55 years if they, if it's in the state's best interest and those conditions that are cited. In compliance in terms of conditions of the expiring lease, consistent with state law, sound airport operations and policies, in the state's best interest. Satisfying those conditions, they could get a new lease. And then it could be up to 55 years for that lease. The expiration of that lease, if they satisfy these conditions, they could get another lease up to 55 years. So when I reference forever, the same tenant could be there forever, provided that they satisfy these conditions. And I'm not stating, anything.
But in your paper you say the total should be...
Well, our preference was to have a total to not exceed 55 years and then have the competitive process, have the notice, let's say, that there would be an opportunity for somebody else to compete at the end of the 55 years. It just allows the public access to the public resource at some point, instead of having in perpetuity an existing lease. It doesn't mean that somebody's going to take that lease. It was the public an opportunity. It was a concern that was expressed by the Attorney General's office in just making this bill as defensible as possible. And they felt that by allowing somebody an opportunity to at least compete at some point, it makes it more defensible.
Mr. Chairman, on that point.
Well, we got to wrap up here. We're going to have again on Friday morning is when I intend to bring this back up. So.
Could I ask a question? Are you going to do a work draft, or?
I think I'll try.
If I wanted to propose amendments, which version should I draft to?
Let's see if we can get a work draft out. Let's see, what's today? Wednesday morning. Let's see if we can distribute a work draft by tomorrow morning. So we can give it. We'll get it to all the committee members, and then draft any amendments to that. And see what it is, and then by Friday morning we can go through the process, adopt the work draft, and any amendments go through that process at that point. So, but we're gonna have a meeting tomorrow morning. So maybe at the morning meeting we can distribute a work draft on this, and work with Mr. Park and everyone involved, and see if we can't come up with something. So we'll recess for today. We're going to meet at 1:30. We're going to start off at 3:54, which is the RIP, the school district RIP.
Thanks.